Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Alpharetta, Georgia, it's time for Alpharetta Business Radio, spotlighting the area's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to our show today. Your host, Chris Deekel, in studio. We have a great group of people today. We have Dagmar Sands, a very well-known international realtor in the area, who is also the president and founder of the Johns Creek City Guide, which is a very interesting publication. We have Stephen Rothschild, who since 1987 has been keeping most people out of jail for tax problems. He's a CPA with RRB Business Services and CPAs. He will have some great advice on things you need to be doing in your business. And we have Tommy Higginbottom with H Crew Technologies, who is a professional IT advisor, consultant, and who provides services managed and otherwise consultative services for small and medium-sized businesses in the Atlanta area. And he will have some great advice for you with your technology. So we look forward to having everybody in. Dagmar, welcome to the show, and thank you for coming.
Thank you so much for having me. It's very exciting to be here. My name's Dagmar Sands. I'm the president of Real Estate International. We're in Johns Creek, and I was working on a project in Johns Creek. It's called the Johns Creek European Village. And by talking to business owners in Johns Creek, I found out that they needed a place where they can network and they can help each other to expose their business. So I started a website called Johns Creek City Guide.
That's an internet-based guide?
Yes, it is. It's a one-stop shop website where business owners can do, they can post their coupons, they can put their business on there, they can network with us on a regular basis, and all 70,000 residents of Johns Creek can access any information about them. So I used to be the type of realtor that people would call and say, who's a good CPA I can use? Who's a good IT person I can use? And now I just tell them, go to the Johns Creek City Guide, and they're listed on there. So now they can meet with us. We have 575 companies that meet with us through the meetup group that we host in Johns Creek. And I'm trying to connect people, and we have great testimonials where people are doing business as a result of the Johns Creek City
Guide. I know you're a big networker because I've been to a couple of your events. One of them was the Johns Creek Real Estate Investors Group?
Exactly. We started the Johns Creek Investment Group where we had 17 investors came to our first meetup and started networking. I listed a $6 million property at our second meetup, so it's been a great success story.
So when you're talking to people about how to use meetups, you know, Johns Creek's kind of a great test case for how to do it locally.
Exactly. Well, you know, I've been an international realtor since 1979. I was born and raised in Europe, came here from the Czech Republic, couldn't speak any English. So the reason I started Real Estate International was to work with foreigners that came to this country, and we helped them in their own language. And it just evolved, and networking has been the best thing that I've ever found. You know, people get to know you, they get to trust you, they do business with you. And with the Johns Creek City Guide, we're trying to do the same thing that worked for me through the guide for other business owners. We do videos, interviews, we post information about them. And so if you go to the website, I mean, you'll see we give them a barter membership so that if some businesses wanted to barter together. We also belong to OSBO, the organization supporting small business owners. So we do a lot of things to help other business owners, and it's all about doing it on local level. So when this Johns Creek City Guide was formed, and I saw how well it's working, I started talking about it to other realtors around the country. And I think what we're going to do is it became sort of like become the mayor of your own real estate village, where realtors across the country and across the world can create their own city guide in their own city and help business owners in their own area connect with them and become the go-to realtor.
I noticed that one of the members on that site is the city of Johns Creek mayor, you know, Mayor Bodker. Yeah, I'm sure the city loves this.
Well, we are hoping that we are sort of the eyes and the ears for the mayor and for the city. We're trying to go out there, and you know, I go out and talk to the business owners. As a realtor, I network, so I go out and I say, what would you like to have, Steve, or what would you like to have, Tommy? And then as we hear people say, this would help us in the city, we try to put it on the city guide. So, you know, now I belong to the Luxury Real Estate Breakfast Group. So each month we network. We started a luxury section. So residents of Johns Creek can post their homes for sale on there. They can post their cars. They can post their garage sales. So it's a helpful website that helps everyone.
Wow, that's quite a departure from real estate.
Well, it is. You know, I just wrote a book called How I Became a Purple Snowflake in Real Estate. And the reason for that book is I've always tried to make myself stand out against my competition. I listen to what the 1.3 million realtors are doing. And I'm going in the opposite direction. And I think the best way I found out to grow your business is if you help others. And so that's what this Johns Creek City Guide is there to do, is to help business owner get exposed, get networked, and get more leads and more business. And if you make other people successful, as a result, you're successful. And so that's what this Johns Creek City Guide has done for me and my business.
I think that's great advice. Steve Beecham was one of my first guests on our show.
Yes, I know Steve very well, and he's
been
a speaker.
I hear some of
that
phraseology
sneak
through.
Right. He's been a speaker at one of our networking events at our meetup, and he's great.
Yeah, and he's also funny as heck.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, he's the nearest thing we've got to a resort or
He's another one of those people that will help others.
Oh, and absolutely.
Especially in Alpharetta.
He's a real networker, and he preaches. It's not about you. It's about how you help others. And if you do that, your rewards will come.
Exactly.
And I think that's also great advice I've heard from others like Brian Tracy, who is one of the great motivational speakers and business coaches
right.
in America. So I think that theme runs through, and that's the way you're doing it.
Well, you know what? I came to this country. I remember being at a closing table as a 14-year-old kid. My parents couldn't understand any English. I was the translator at that time. So when I got in real estate, I decided, okay, I'm going to help people that come from another country to hear. I hired 14 bilingual agents. We sold the client's language. It was sold in any language. So we try to help them in their own language. And it became obvious that once we sold them their first home, they wanted to start their own sandwich shop or their own little store or something. So we represented them in retail and corporate. And next thing I know, we sold a Japanese school. I sold 12 churches in Atlanta. So now people calling me want me to sell their racetracks around the country because we're unique. And I belong to an organization called FEOPSI, the International Real Estate Federation. I've been a member since 87. I've been to 41 different countries with them. And so it has brought me a broad overview how business is done worldwide, and it's helped Real Estate International.
How has that experience translated into how you've modified your business practices in the United States?
Well, I always look for opportunities, and I'm a good listener. So when I have a client, I try to listen to what they're looking for and help them in their own language. You have to also be very cautious about different cultures and different things that might affect a client that's buying here in the United States. Because we Americans, we want to, meet someone, do business, thank you, ma'am, and goodbye. We build relationships, and I always tell people I want to be a realtor for life, not just one transaction.
That would be good advice for any business.
Right, exactly. You know, you have to be there even after closing. You go that extra mile for every one of your clients.
And it's much easier to sell the person you sold than to get the new one and sell them.
Exactly. And, people will tell other people if you do a good job for them. I'm working with a client now with AT&T, and I'm going to be picking up maybe 3 new clients with AT&T as a result. So if you do a good job for one, they're going to come back.
Yeah, if you do a bad job, they'll tell 30 people
how
bad you suck.
That's true, yeah.
You can't hide with social media anymore.
Right.
Just keep that in mind. You
cannot
hide.
Social media has really changed the way we do business now, but you still need that personal. In real estate, I find that you still need that personal touch. They may find the house on the internet, but they're going to come back to you to help them. And so it's like that with any other business as well. That personal touch will never go away.
Never does. personal service counts, particularly today when there's so many companies that are trying to mass market themselves and treat you like a number,
right,
and make you fit into a mold. And, you know, here's how we deliver it. You know, now you need to enjoy it. And
exactly.
if you don't, we'll instruct you how to do that.
Right, right.
So you've made some very big real estate transactions in Atlanta. You've sold a lot of international properties and properties here in the U.S. to international buyers. What's the tenor of the real estate market, you know, worldwide now? Is it back on its feet?
I think every country right now is going through what the United States is going through. And I think if we, you know, learned from the Japanese back years ago when they were going through this crisis, and now we're in that crisis, and I think China needs to watch out. I see them making the same mistakes we were making. Real estate here in the United States, we were doing day trading with real estate. Florida, you know, you could buy a property for $200,000 and sell it for $250,000 that afternoon, and it was sold to foreigners, and then it was sold on the Wall Street, and banks like Deutsche Bank got really hurt because they were buying all this stuff. So we're in the situation now that I could see about 5 or 7 years ago coming, where we were selling houses, you know, $700,000 houses, mm-hmm, to 29, 30-year-old kids. Sorry for the young people, but they're not kids. But we were selling these big houses to them, and they could barely afford the house payment. They didn't have money for furniture and all the 6 months' worth of cushions that they should have. And, you know, anyone was able to get a loan. And today, you know, it's should be a privilege to own real, mm-hmm, estate or to own a home. Mm-hmm. But we've gotten so loose, and the banking system has really not helped us. And, you know, we have a lot of shadow inventory right now.
That's not on the books.
And it's coming. There's, mm-hmm, about $16.9 billion, mm-hmm, worth of real estate still coming on the market. And so you have to be cautious as a buyer and, you know, buy low, sell high, but be smart about where you're buying and do your homework and make sure you use a realtor that can help you with your statistics and all the background and homework that you need to get
done. I think that's great advice, that realtors are not there just to take your money. A good one will provide invaluable insights and market knowledge that you can't acquire, not even if you're studying the same figures.
Exactly. Well, when you buy a home, it's not like buying a pair of shoes. You're going to be there for a while, and you can't exchange it tomorrow. And so you have to be very smart where you buy.
If you had some advice for a new realtor that's starting out today, what would that advice be?
Start networking in your own local area. Join an organization that is going to support you and where you get involved. Most people, they pay their dues. A long time ago when I joined FEOPSI, I was in the audience and somebody asked a question. They raised their hand and I was too ashamed to raise my hand. But the guy said, well, I paid my dues. Where do I get rich? Or how do I get rich? And I kept listening for that answer. And the speaker on the podium said, well, pay your dues. And the guy was like, well, I just paid my $585 to be a member of the organization. Well, that's not what that meant. It means pay your dues by coming to events, get involved on committees, start doing some kind of a leadership role in the organization, and then people get to know you, the word spreads, and the referrals come. I get referrals worldwide now just because I was the president of the Georgia chapter of FEOPSI. I became the FEOPSI USA president in 2008 for the whole country of the United States. So when I traveled, people knew Dagmar, Atlanta, Atlanta, Dagmar. And, mm-hmm, that way I promoted myself worldwide. And now when they need something in Atlanta, they give me a call. So it's very exciting.
Now, as someone once said, if you're not making the dust, you're eating it.
Yeah, that's true. I like that. I haven't heard that one before.
It's anonymous, but it's a great quote.
Right, right.
Much better than the sled dog. If you could change one thing today, what would you change?
You know, I don't think I would really change anything. I think everything is a learning experience. If you have failures along the way, those are educational things that you learn from. So I don't look at anything as being a negative thing. I always stop and say, after every transaction, what can we do better? Or, you know, if there's anything we could have added, what would that be? And being a purple snowflake. Be different. Look different. Try to be, set yourself apart from your competition. I mean, there's 1.3 million realtors, so what makes you different? And I chose the path of being international. With the Johns Creek City Guide, what makes our website look different from the other sites? Because we care. Customers and residents of Johns Creek get to use it for free. It's a free service. So give to others, and it will come back to you. So I don't think I would change anything.
Well, I appreciate all the insights, and there's some great advice beyond real estate or anything else in some of the comments you made. So thank you for those.
You're welcome. I'm impressed by that. My pleasure.
If people want to get in touch with the internationally famous Dagmar Sands, who is right here in our midst, how do they do that?
You're in good hands with Dagmar Sands. Now go to either dagmarsands.com or you can find me at johnscreekcityguide.com or worldclassrealestatebroker.com. Our telephone number in Alpharetta is 770-476-1335. And our website, again, is dagmarsands.com. Thank you so much for having me.
That's been our pleasure. Can you remain in the studio for our other guests?
Absolutely.
Well, thank you. Welcome, Tommy.
Hey, good morning. How you guys doing?
Yeah, we're doing great. Now, you're with H. Crew Technologies. I originally was getting excited because I thought I'd get a shirt out of this.
We'll take it off my business partner. We'll give you his before we take off. My name's Tommy Higginbotham. I'm the president and co-owner of H. Crew Technologies. H. Crew Technologies is a small business-focused IT support firm. You know, we offer, and forgive me if I'm repeating a lot of the things that you spoke about, but we offer what I would consider one-stop shop IT services for small businesses. We focused on managed IT services, IT support, computer repair, web design, search engine marketing, search engine optimization for small businesses.
I understood one of those. Can you explain what a managed IT service is?
Absolutely, absolutely. So every small business that I've encountered relies on their IT, their computers, their telephone systems, servers, software to run their business on a day-to-day basis. What our job is to come in and evaluate that system, ensure that that system is supported properly, that it's set up the most efficient way, but more importantly, to monitor and maintain that system 24/7, 365 to ensure that small businesses are able to continue to operate on a day-to-day basis.
Can an owner do that?
They can, but most of them do not have the skill set in order to do it. In our industry, one of the biggest expenses is infrastructure. Our infrastructure is already in place. You know, we spent the money, we spent the time to go in and get servers. You know, we've got the software, we've got the experience, and our job is to continue to maintain those computers and monitor them to make sure that when you get ready to do a transaction, whether it's, you know, selling real estate or point of sale systems, that you are able to do that. One of the worst things in the death of a small business in this industry is not to be able to provide the service that you're in the business to do.
What happens if your IT goes down today?
Small businesses IT?
Yeah.
It's so easy for them to shop and move. You know, once you have a customer, if you can't service them, they'll find somebody else who can. So it is extremely important to maintain that infrastructure to make sure that you can do your job.
So what are the points of failure in technology
There are so many points of failure. I like to joke that most points of failure originate from the chair. I don't know if you guys have ever heard the term picnic.
I thought that referred to the leadership in Congress occasionally.
No. What I refer to is the problem in chair, not in computer syndrome. Most issues seem to originate from a user. But when you do have hardware failure, whether it's a monitor that goes bad, a hard drive that goes down, a server that stops working on you, a software that won't function the way that it's supposed to, all the way down to a keyboard not functioning the way that it's supposed to. You know, a lot of people don't know who to contact. They don't know who they can rely on. Seems like everybody has an IT support guy these days, but, you know, a lot of them don't have the experience. At H. Crew Technologies, we've been in IT for over 10 years, and we offer that industry experience, but not only on the IT side, but on the business operations side. One of the things that I like to sell as far as IT goes is that, you know, H. Crew Technologies doesn't come in with an industry set technology that we sell. We're not a reseller for any one particular hardware. We're not a reseller for any particular software. We come in and we find out where your infrastructure or your IT dollars have already been spent, and we try to figure out how to help you maintain what you've already invested in and get the most out of it instead of coming in and trying to give you something that we know how to support all the time.
Well, you know, in the process of doing that, do you save companies money?
Absolutely. One of our biggest things is coming in and saving money. And the biggest way to save a company money is to keep them working. You know, the way to really lose money is to, like I said, go down for a day, or even worse, go down for a week. When you can't service your customers, it is very, very hard to re-up that trust, you know, to get those people to retrust in what you offer.
So beyond the computers, do you do tech, you know, like the telephone lines and stuff like that?
We don't actually have our own infrastructure in place. Our goals are to eventually to offer voice over IP services. We're in research right now and you know, investigating partnerships with a couple other companies. The problem that I have with it currently is that with voice over IP and things like that, because we don't have the infrastructure, we have to rely so heavily on other people to maintain our brand and our image. And right now we like to control that. You know, it's something that as we continue to grow, we will offer. It's just not in place now. We do support it, but we don't actually sell it ourselves.
No, so if they buy, if someone buys from you, they can be assured that, you know, you have it under your control, or, and it's not something you're outsourcing to some third world country somewhere.
Absolutely. You will always deal with a person. You'll deal with a face. I learned a long time ago from an employee who used to work for me at another job that IT is a lot like magic. If you don't see it happen, you don't believe it happens.
That's great.
Yeah, yeah. How did you get your start in IT? I mean, everybody that's in IT has some great story about how they blundered into this.
You know, it's so funny. I sat and thought about this, you know, in preparation for this event. But one of the stories that I always like to tell is when I was 13
years old. Gosh, yeah, I mean, we got our first person that prepared.
When I was 13 years old, my father was in floor covering. He owned his own floor covering business and was doing a lot of work down in Atlanta. I had been talking about purchasing a new computer. You know, my dad had previously spent, you know, close to $3,500 on our first machine. It was just an amazing amount of money for a PC. He met a guy in Atlanta that told him he could get a really great computer for half that price. You know, my dad tells me about it. I'm super excited. You know, I get home one day from school. There's a box sitting on the front porch. I go, you know, break open the box. I'm expecting to hook my new computer up. I open it up, and there's an empty case. So what happens is over the next week, 2 weeks, parts for that computer start to come in, you know, and what had happened is this guy wholesale computers and sent every part in pieces. So, you know, my dad's sitting there, he's like, you know, what are we going to do? We don't know how to do this. So I break out the instructions, take all the pieces, got it on the kitchen table, and I have it together, you know, in a couple hours, have the operating system installed, got everything ready to go. And it kind of, you know, my love for computers and IT was born from that situation.
Out of desperation.
Yeah, I really missed the internet. I needed it back.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, you know, to visit those sites, okay.
Yeah.
Yep. One of the things that's always puzzled me with IT is, you know, how people think about it as business owners. You know, they see it as an expense. Do you help them see that in a different light?
I think that's a frame of mind that's really tough to get over, because IT in most business owners' minds is not revenue generating. It is an IT cost. But the thing you've got to realize is that IT cost is also helping you to offset for additional employees, for additional infrastructure, things that would increase your cost even more. But not only that, it allows you to increase your service level to your customers.
So what makes you such a great choice for businesses, and who, by the way, is your target market?
Well, our target market is small to startup, you know, even possibly mid-sized businesses. We like to say between 1 and 25 PCs or 1 and 25 nodes, you know, whether it's a PC, network switches, servers. But what makes H-Crew Technologies the go-to source, you know, we price ourselves very competitively in the market. But not only that, you know, you get the personalized service. You get the face in the office. You get somebody coming in every week to discuss your problems. And it's not always one of those things where I would say that most IT companies bleed their customers. You know, they bill them for every little thing. You know, you get a phone call about a piece of software or a question. Our goal is to go in and be that face, to be that resource without always breaking the bank. You know, we are more concerned with our relationships with our customers than we are right now the bottom dollar, which shouldn't be said for most companies. But, you know, we know for a fact that the more solid our relationships are, the bigger and the faster our business is going to grow.
Because your customers will have a good experience. Your customers will have a good experience. They'll grow and you'll grow with them.
Absolutely.
Different strategy, isn't it?
There is nothing like a referral. I tried when Will and I started this business to go in and do cold call sales. There's nothing worse than walking in a door and being escorted off a property or having a door slammed in your face because people don't want to talk to you. You know, they've getting these pushy IT salespeople. We don't do that. You know, we sell ourselves and we sell our expertise, but we do it through the personalized relationships. And with our customers, you know, we're already starting to see a tremendous referral base.
Referrals are essential, especially today. But, you know, that's a, you know, part of the reason there are things like Facebook and LinkedIn and Angie's List that people don't, you know, I've never seen a company advertise, you know, in print or on the web, you know, buy from us because we give lousy service.
And that's the thing, you know, in the IT.
And they're proud of it.
So, well, you know, in the IT industry, one of the things that makes this industry so difficult but also so exciting is that there is a low barrier to entry. It doesn't cost a lot. You know, it doesn't take a lot of capital to get into this business. But, you know, if you've got someone that's been doing this for years and they're comfortable doing it, they provide you good, solid experience, there is nothing better than a solid IT company.
And I couldn't agree more because, you know, I've owned my own several businesses myself, and some of them were very heavily IT dependent. And having rock solid IT was a huge competitive advantage, and people should never miss that. That it's not a cost, it's an opportunity if you use it, because most of your competition's oblivious to it, don't know how to manage it. But with you, fortunately, they have good advice and they have someone that can take over that management without having to add overhead. In fact, it'll probably take some away.
Absolutely. And one of the things that I like to say, you know, with my experience, I've been in IT for over 10 years. I've got a solid experience in municipal government operations and in business operations. So not only do you get the experience of the IT technology, the expertise there, but you also get someone who knows business and who's been in those positions, you know, knows how to deal with deadlines and knows how to deal with budgets, and more importantly, knows how to speak the business language.
You grew up with business.
Absolutely.
So, you know, that's a real difference. So, you know, business is not an abstraction, and how you make money in it, what's important, what isn't, is you know, that's the thing that many IT firms seem to miss to me. Would you agree?
Absolutely. You know, and another thing that I think with a lot of IT firms, when they go in to deal with the business, they are in there with a wish list. You know, they've got all this new technology that they want to play with, that they want to try. You know, their job is to support you, but that, you know, they go in with selfish reasons. My job is to go in and make sure that your company can run efficiently and that we can contribute to increasing your bottom dollar, not shrinking it.
Well, for all of those out there who would like to increase their bottom dollar and not shrink it, how do they get in touch with you, Tommy?
Well, you can reach us online at www.hcrewtech.com. You can also reach us on Facebook at facebook.com/hcrewtech. You can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/hcrewtech, or you can call us at 855-427-3986.
Well, thank you so much for being on. Can you remain in the station for our last guest?
Absolutely. Thank you for having us.
Great. It's you know, eye-opening, and I hope that some of the listeners will take advantage of the knowledge that you've imparted and give you a buzz.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Well, Steve, welcome. Steve, you're the president, you know, or a partner with RRB Business Services and CPAs, and one of the things that I just really caught my eye was, let's say, wasn't the part about not going to jail, but how to avoid an audit.
Yes. Well, most people, when they start off in their business, think that the first thing that they need to do is to keep their records, their books and records, strictly for the IRS. They don't realize the valuable information they can obtain in running their business. So they get one-sided, and then what they ended up doing is they make decisions that are just tax-oriented for the moment. And then, of course, not understanding the complexities of the tax laws and how it's worth to step back from the picture and take a look at the whole landscape before you finish, they make decisions, and then they box themselves in, which makes it very easy for an IRS agent or any kind of government regulator to come in and have a heyday. So the first thing that we advise clients to do is business is not something that you need to be developing the atomic bomb on. This is something that you it is not a cutting edge type when I say cutting edge, your business has to be cutting edge, but it's not the operation of a business. Is a lot of it is common sense and business systems, and that's the first point where I see people failing in their businesses.
So if I understand what you're saying that people try to play a tax avoidance game, but they miss the point that what's really important is understanding how you're making or losing money in your business and on what.
Right. Let me give you an example. Any business, whether it be a service business or it be a manufacturing type business, has some sort of product service that they're doing, and they ought to focus around what I call a cost of goods sold or a cost of services sold. And if they understand the dynamics of what that percentage of cost ought to be in regards to their sales, they can immediately pinpoint problems. I had a client that was in the service business providing health care. And I took a look at that. We set that up in a particular area, one aspect of his business, and I noticed the costs were way out of line. And what we found was that the billing mechanism that the person providing that service to my client was doing was incorrect and therefore inflating what we needed to pay them. So, and if you're in a regulatory business, as this client was, it can also have a big effect if the regulators pick up on that as well. So we fixed that in terms of helping the client look at that number and say, manage from a perspective, not the number, but manage the concept. Understand that if you're have an expectation of what the direct cost to provide that service should be, and that will help you immensely in running your business. And that goes through to any business. You need to have basically, I think Dagmar mentioned, having something that differentiates yourself. Have a vision, have a goal in your business. Don't be out there to be, quote, the best hair cutter, the best real estate person. Be out there to be something different that's going to make you stand out. That is critical. And then build your model, your business model, both from a numerical sense and from a what I call conceptual or service a service or product that you're providing around that client.
I didn't mean to interrupt, but I did want to circle back and ask a question. You're quite different in the way you talk about this. Usually CPAs and people that I've talked to, they immediately go into the minutiae of this thing, but you're really talking about how you run a business.
Right.
And it sounds like and correct me if I'm wrong here, but it sounds like you're really giving people really good advice about what some of these ratios need to be so that when you see a percentage of cost of goods sold, for instance, you have some ability to help them understand, is that out of whack?
Yes, and it makes a huge difference. I had another situation where a client had bought a brand new machine to manufacture something, and the cost savings weren't being realized. Well, I was able to look specifically at some of the details behind it and notice that the amount of product being used was driving that cost up. And what ended up happening is they weren't using the machine correctly. So we were able to get that savings that we were looking for immediately. But if they didn't have good accounting systems, and that includes computers, because if you can't run a company today on paper, you have to have the electronic means in which to document what you're doing. It made a huge difference in that client. I mean, that made a profit of by finding that immediately. That made an impact that year alone of $100,000 for that client in profit.
That's amazing. Do most CPAs do that for their clients?
Well, there are three types of CPAs that are out there, or or prepares. First of all, not everybody is a CPA, and people need to be aware of that just because they're doing taxes. There's a big problem right now in the industry with that. But you've got people out there that are just historical number crunchers. You will go to them. They will tell you what the numbers are, what it is. And then they will focus strictly on the tax aspect of what they're doing, which is important, but that's it. And then you have people that are out there that go into a business and say, wait a minute, you got to look at this. Why did you go into business? What do you want to achieve? How do you want to get there? And try and find the fastest route to do that, but also the best route to do that. I tell clients, on the downside of it, if you're making a lot of money, you're building a value in your business. Yes, you've got to pay taxes to have that, but try and sell a business that's unprofitable on paper. I mean, most people are not going to look at somebody and say, well, I've got real calculations that are different from my tax return. They're going to want to know what you really did. And the tax return, a lot of times, is the guide for the people, you know, initially screening a business. Do, you know, what is this business worth?
Well, it may be worth more. It may be, you know, you may make more money than that, but very few people are willing to pay extra taxes.
Right.
Not true on real estate.
Well, in reducing your taxes, you have to understand the industry you're in and the opportunities that the tax code affords you. You also, again, have to have a good system in place. Not just, you know, just like tracking your costs. If you don't know where you're spending your money and you don't know where your tax, what your tax liability is till year end, you're gonna be on a roller coaster ride every year.
So how do you get in front of that? How do you prepare and plan to minimize your tax obligation? Or if you're going to pay taxes, how can you shift some of that money back into your company?
Well, first of all, I started off by saying you have to have good systems so that you are keeping records. So many businesses don't keep good records or any records till the time that they have to file, and then they scramble. That's a big mistake. The other thing that you need to do is you need to, throughout the year, take a look at where you're going tax-wise. Is this a phenomenal year? Well, if it is, you need to understand what obligations and opportunities there are there. For example, I had a client. The year was going very well. He's been constantly asking about buying a new piece of equipment. I said, this is the year to do that because of the lucrative tax depreciation that you could take on it. And we did it, and it saved them an immense amount of money. Somebody in real estate that's building a building for a business, if they're smart, they're going to utilize somebody to appraise it so that it can be put on the books in a certain way so they can get a faster write-off than 35 years. Some of the parts they can call it equipment and depreciate it in 7 years. Well, that makes a heck of a difference.
Yeah, you get your money back faster, and you're not sending that to the, you know, to the government to
right.
to use wisely. We had a guest on last week that was an ISO 9000, in fact, any kind of ISO certification company that would take a company, you know, that needed an ISO, you know, certification or wanted to clean up their operation, streamline it, and would take them through it. One of his clients, it turned out, could get a $137,000 refund from the state of Georgia in tax credits against what they spent on training. So, those are is that the kind of thing you help people spot?
Yes, that, and also in terms of it, is the other thing is to utilize things that are readily available, but people don't think they can do it. How many businesses out there don't have a retirement plan? That's one of the biggest gimmies that the government gives you to be able to save tax dollars. And if you're not utilizing that in a business, you're missing out on a big opportunity. And the way to do that is you got to plan for it. You got to be able to say, how does this fit in my picture and how can I do this? And it makes a huge difference for people. I've had clients that have done that and now they're sitting on $500,000, $1 million in retirement, and they're looking to retire, or they're looking to put their child through college, and they've saved for it all along, and the funds are there. It's not a scramble.
So that's part of the secret of a good retirement is start early.
Right.
And what else?
The other thing is to save consistently. The biggest thing, though, is when you invest your money, don't try and be Warren Buffett, because Warren Buffett didn't hit grand slams immediately. He built on a building technique. Get a investment policy statement from whoever you're dealing with that fits your risk tolerance, so that when the market has its ups and downs, you're not either over-celebrating or wanting to pull out of the market because you're nervous of what you're doing. Get something that'll keep you in the game consistently. Because the guy that plays athletes in a sporting event, the guy that plays consistently usually is the better player than the guy that's in and out. And that is the biggest thing I can tell people to do.
Is that sort of the first step in financial planning, or for that matter, starting your own business and planning it?
Yes, you should have a plan, and the plan doesn't have to be some elaborate book that you put on your shelf, because that's something that you're not going to find useful to you. What you need to have is something, something that is customized to your habits that you can refer back to, like a user guide, okay, so that you can say, how am I doing? The other part of this is to step back from the picture and don't always work in your business, work on your business. Allocate some time so that you're sitting down with your team of financial advisors, your computer person, whatever in your industry, where you're talking about your business, not just about, well, I got to sell this client and what are sales today and what are costs. Step back and look how it fits your picture, and you'll see amazing results of where you can go.
Now, that's interesting advice, because that sounds like a business coach talking.
Yeah, well, a lot of what a good CPA should be doing for their clients is being a good coach for their clients.
Well, you don't go to school to learn how to run a business, do you?
Well, you don't, but I will say this much. I went to a school called Babson College, and it is a school of entrepreneurship. And, if you go to the right school, you can. But where you really learn how to practice and use what you learn in school, okay, is when you get out and you see and you start doing it in the real world, and you don't have, a given situation. You're going to create that situation, and that's what makes the difference.
That's a very different conversation than I ever expected to get out of any CPA I've ever worked with. great advice, not only about, the business, but also about taxes. And speaking of taxes, I've got to ask the question, how do you avoid an audit?
Be realistic with what you're doing, first of all. Make sure that you understand what a baseline of taxes that you expect to have to pay and pay it in. The biggest problem that people run into in any kind of tax area is because the government doesn't come screening for their money right away. It can be a number of years before they start asking. Start off and understand what your liabilities are and pre-fund them, pay them. Pay them as you go along, almost like a withholding system, because that's a big danger that a new business runs into. They get all this cash, and they figure they've got this extra money laying around, but they're not allocating stuff for taxes. And a couple years go by, and all of a sudden, they've dug themselves into a big hole. So that's number one. The other thing is understand that tax law, as complicated as it is, you can utilize your system to understand what kind of profits you should have, and therefore what kind of payments or what you ought to be expecting to pay. And this is after you've gone through and done your things that can save you money. Don't try and file something that's unrealistic, because it's going to stand out like the purple snowflake.
And in the very worst sense.
Right, exactly. And a lot of people...
Yeah, that's when you get that letter that says, "Dear Felon."
Yes. You get that. And the other thing is, work with somebody in your business who is qualified to do your job. I see a lot of these tax preparation services out there that the people really have no skill other than to fill out a form. And I can put a number in a form and look like I'm generating magic, but if the details aren't really there that are required, even if you've done it, you're not going to get it. So understand who you're dealing with. Yeah. When you're doing this, necessarily the messenger that gives you the best message initially up front may not be the person you want to necessarily use, because that, you know, when you talk about people that get into trouble, they're behind the eight ball and they're trying to hit a couple of grand slams in the fourth quarter. Well,
there was Enron and there was WorldCom. So it's not just the little guys.
No, it isn't. And, make it easy for yourself. But all of this comes within a business plan. If you've got a business plan, you're funding your taxes, you're paying your taxes. There are no surprises. The worst thing that people have happened to them is that they're shocked at how much they owe, they don't have the money, and they feel, what'll I do, and they're lost.
Yeah. So a great part of your job is, you know, to make people be realistic, face the reality of what they have to deal with, and make them think about their business.
Right.
You know, well, you know, this is an awfully complicated area, and it covers, you know, everything in the world about a business, because ultimately business really, I mean, it's people, but it's also numbers, you know, and you can't really separate those today. In all our conversation, Steve, is there anything I've failed to ask or anything you'd like to add before we close?
Well, I will say this much. The most important thing a small business of any size can do, and that is to make sure you report your revenue. That is the easiest way people feel that they can, quote, save on taxes, but the easiest way to get yourself in a hole, because it's not very hard from an audit perspective for somebody to find that. And once they find that, that sends out red flags all over the place. And you may not just have a one-year audit, you may have a three-year audit.
Well, Steve, you've given us great advice and insight into what a CPA could actually do for you. If people want to get in touch with you, how do they do that?
Well, we've got a website, www.rrbcpa.com. I am on Google. I've got a website on Kudzu, which you can find me. Just type in RRB Business Services on Kudzu. And of course, my phone number is 404-974-3066.
Well, thank you so much for being on. It's been a pleasure having you, and we hope to have you back.
Oh, thank you.